Pickaxe.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Triforce podcast. Today, coming at you from Sweden with Pyrian Flax. I'm not in Sweden.
Hey!
He is.
I'm crippled. I got a trapped nerve in my neck and it really hurts.
Oh no. Oh. You've got to go to the doctor straight after this, have you?
Yes.
Old people chat. This is what happens now to us. We don't understand technology. Pyrian's got a crappy microphone.
I need some horse tranks or something. I can't sleep. It's insane. It's so painful. Like, everything is painful.
Everything.
How did this happen? Did you lift something heavy?
No, I woke up one morning after
sex?
I slept funny. I woke up one morning and I had a little crick in my neck, as you do every once in a while. And it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. And over time, it has evolved as well. At first, it just really hurt to sit upright in a chair or like drive a car or whatever. It felt like on my left side, it felt like under my armpit and like the side of my torso was like not able to stretch. Like it was like really tight, you know, like it felt like every time I sat down, like it felt like it was going to like rip. It was really, really quite painful. But so it meant like if I sat at my computer to stream or play games or whatever, that also hurt. But yeah. I was able to sleep no problem. Like I could sleep on my back, on my side, and it was fine. So I got some relief.
I've just stood up straight and I've like flexed my neck and my back. I'm like really paranoid now that
And then for the past week, it's been bearable sitting at a desk in a chair. It hasn't been so bad driving and stuff, but I cannot sleep. I can't sleep on my side. I say like the minute I roll over on my side, I can feel my neck and my shoulder, like the muscles just start to like spasm, and then it just intensifies. This is over the course of like a minute to the point where I just have to sit up. Like it feels like I'm being stabbed. It's unbelievable.
Oh my god.
Fuck, it's
what's
so I
the
can't
treatment?
Sleep. Well, I don't know. If they want them to cut it off or fucking
they have to kill him.
Just,
that's it.
Just fucking take right. me out back and Old Yeller my ass or something. I don't know. I'm done. Like it's just too painful.
You must have Googled it, right? You must
have, and it's like, Googling. Oh, these instant relief, do these stretches, do this, do that. Great, yeah, thanks. None of it has worked. I've tried every single one, and not a single one of them has worked. These videos have like millions of views.
Yeah.
So you're watching YouTube videos?
Man, if you wake up at 3 a.m, you feel like somebody's stabbing you, you can't get back to sleep, there's not much else to do except for watch, you know, YouTube videos on what possibly could be wrong with you.
Oh god.
So I mean, and then like you said, I've got cancer and I've got symptoms of cancer and every known cancer now and everything else too. So
that's what happens when you have anything wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's
the
other
internet
day,
says it's cancer.
The other day I was in fact this was 2 days ago. We're getting the cab home because I'm in Sweden for Dream League right now. We're driving back from the studio. And the car was quite loud. And I was having a conversation with the guys in the back of the cab. And I had to turn around and turn my neck to talk to them.
Yeah.
And I had my neck turned for about 30 seconds. I have a little conversation. And when I go to turn back, the muscles in my neck are like, you tried to use us. Ah!
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to like stretch my neck and my shoulders out. I'm just so fragile now. Any kind, like I sleep on the wrong pillow. Or I don't move too enough, or I move too much when I'm asleep. I wake up, it's like,
Well,
it's
I think I had like quite a flimsy pillow because I made the mistake of, we went to get new pillows and I could have got like a firm pillow, but then they had a not so firm pillow, but it was like a cool pillow, you know, like a chillo, like a, you know, one of those ones that's cold. It's like cold, you know, like.
How does it stay cold?
I don't know. But
what?
It turns out it's not a very supportive pillow. And I think that's the root of the problem, unfortunately. I've changed pillows since. But
I've never heard of chillos. Never heard of a chillo. How does it start? I don't understand. Is it electric? Does it stay cold?
I think the ones in the 90s you had to put in the freezer. Or there was like a part of the pillow you put into the freezer for a bit.
Like a cold pack.
Kinda, yeah. But I think now they've got some crazy space age material that just can stay cool for a bit longer than normal material or something.
Gosh,
I don't know. But it does actually stay cool. Like when you lay down, it does feel quite cold. It's nice.
I believe it.
Like colder than a normal pillow, but
oh my god,
it has also crippled me. So
I felt like the oldest man at the weekend. I went to this Bristol Simple Things Festival. Okay, it's basically kind of like a inner city festival where they've got like three theater venues and some like SWX where we went and saw Ghostface Killahsips.
Oh yeah.
That venue. And yeah, then there's a bunch of other little tiny venues as well. Like the bowling alley and stuff. Where
the place where we saw Ghostface was pretty nice actually.
Yeah. It's a nice venue. Some of them are pretty big venues, yeah, and they had about 50 or 60 Bristol based or local acts. Some of them, I guess, had come down from further on, and they were all, I'd never heard of any of them, of course, because I think modern music, there's so much, so many, so it's so wild, and I didn't like any of them.
No.
I must have watched like 20 bands, and I didn't like any of them.
I'm sorry.
I even like made like a little challenge for myself where I was like, gonna spend 20 minutes at each place.
Right.
Just to give it a chance, you know? But I found myself leaving, like waiting for that 20-minute mark so often. And I don't, like, some of the experiences were hard because they were packed full of people and you're like shoulder to shoulder with people. Other places are like, you can't even get in the door kind of thing. And you're like in a queue for an hour. And, you know, other places there's like just lots of people making like, it wasn't like mosh pits and like lots of people being like physically like active and stuff. I mean, it's obviously always like that, a gig that someone will shove past you and you'll get an elbow in the ribs occasionally. Like, it's kind of inevitable.
Are you saying that you felt old at this gig? Is that
I felt old partly because I felt like I didn't like any of the music.
No.
And I felt like my dad saying, I don't understand new music. I don't get new
what
music.
What kind of music was it, Lulu? Was it dance music? Was it indie music? Was it like pop music? What kind of music was it?
Okay, so the first act I saw was like one woman DJ playing like electronic music, like kind of trancey music, but not without any like kind of actual melody. Like if it was like 90s trance, like Ibiza trance, like I'm sure I would have actually liked it. But no, the main reason she was there was she had this incredibly fancy light show going on.
Okay.
And it was like a firework display, but like if I had epilepsy, I would have lasted like 15 seconds in there.
Gosh.
Do you know what I mean? It was that bad. I was like, and this was at 1 p.m. I was watching this. You know what I mean? It was like, I'm not ready for like...
No, yeah.
this epilepsy-inducing blinding light show.
Some of these,
in like a theater at 1 p.m.
Yeah. Some of these bands, I think, like, when you think back to bands in like the, say, like the 80s or the 90s or whatever, there were scenes around the music. And I'm sure there still are scenes around the music. But I feel like if you're older, it's harder to potentially get into those scenes, you know? Because they're usually... younger people are part of them, right? Like it's almost like part of their everyday, you know, like say you live in California in the 80s and you're part of like the punk rock scene back then. It's kind of like your life, right? You go to parties with all the same people and all the same bands play, and it's very intimate, right? Like these aren't big stadium filling bands at this point. These are like party bands that play for 20 people and the same 20 people over and over and over, and they're all drinking buddies as well, and they also deal drugs to each other and whatnot.
I see that as part of
you know
that
what I mean
scene.
It's a big scene, and I think
it's not really about the music.
Yeah,
it's about,
I think
like,
for some people it is just the music.
Culture.
You know, like some people.
For some people, it definitely is. And a lot of these bands had a big following, had a lot of people there, and were clearly very good at what they did. But I wasn't like wine. I'm not a wine expert. I'm also not a whatever their type of music is expert.
No.
As a result, I have no fucking idea what the hell was going on.
Can you name any of the bands?
I don't really want to because
no,
it's kind of mean. Well, okay, I saw this band. It was like a obviously really talented drummer, really talented guitarist, and their singer, it just felt it was like either their boyfriend, you know, or their girlfriend or whatever, which was just terrible. And
what were they called?
I don't want to say.
Why?
Because it's, I don't want to get letters.
They were called Radiohead, okay? He doesn't want to say, but they were called
Radiohead.
A little band called Radiohead.
I don't remember. I'm going to have to look it up.
Can you tell us and we'll beep it? And that way at least we have some idea.
Okay, it was called...
All right, hold on.
That's a pretty cool name, actually.
It is a pretty cool day.
Yeah.
This band only has about 250 monthly listeners on Spotify. So what you've
done
is...
Yeah, a small band.
Yeah, so you've listened to a very small and unpopular band, and they're not very good. Have you never been there before? Like, where you've been to a gig, and it's like the support act or whatever, and it's just like, these guys aren't very good. Like, that's just... That's nothing new.
You're seeing this band, okay, at a point in their career, if you like, as a band, where... it could go either way, right? Like they're probably just starting out, or maybe, you know, they've been doing it for a little while, but they just haven't gotten any real traction, if you like, or whatever. But I mean, there's tons of huge bands now that started like that, right?
Mm.
That would play gigs, empty gigs, you know.
Of course.
Yeah, there's bands now that can fill stadiums where their first gigs were like, they had no money. They turned up to places and just hoped that they could even get a gig and would play to nobody. Or they played to 10 people who would all leave the minute they started playing, basically.
Yeah, because like stand-up comedians do that as well, don't they? Where they start off and they're like playing in a gas station restroom as their first gig.
I mean, like they might have 250 monthly listens now, but who knows? Maybe in a couple of years.
Like, it's like Malcolm Gladwell says, you have to do 10,000 hours or whatever. Yeah. That's what the Beatles did before they got famous, you know, and I'm sure they were terrible if you saw them when they playing their first gig. But no, I mean, I'm not, it's not like it's just I just felt like I didn't understand.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It is. There is an age component to it as well, for sure.
There is definitely. I think, again, and also everyone, all these music acts are trying to be original, right? They're trying to create something their own, right?
Yeah.
They can't just be a ripoff of someone else or copy someone else's style. And so as a result, they're kind of experimenting with something a bit modern and new. And some elements of modern music I'm not a fan of.
Mm.
Just because I'm old. There's this thing that, like, a lot of the kind of just some of the noise. Again, that's what it sounds like to my dad. Just how noisy it is.
Yeah,
it's just so noisy.
I mean, my son really likes this DJ that I think there's a character of the DJ in Fortnite, but he doesn't actually like. He likes the idea that this DJ has a character in Fortnite.
Mm. Oh,
I don't think he's ever heard any of the music or whatever, but he's like, oh yeah, he's my favorite DJ and stuff, you know. But like most of the music in Fortnite just drives me nuts. Like I have to turn the music off, the menu music and everything. You know, like it's like the one that's on now is like some anime music or something, and it just is just such an assault on my ears. I just don't like it. It's not for me. Like I get that people love it and that's great, but it's not for me, and I will never understand how anybody could enjoy it, like including my son, if he does even enjoy it. I don't know, but you know what I mean?
It is an old man thing for sure. My eldest listens to music. I don't know what style it is. I've been trying to figure it out. It's all over Spotify, and generally the band, someone in the comments will know. She listens to music where I would say most of the sort of avatars for the bands are like cartoon characters or anime characters. It's incredibly fast, like very high BPM.
Yeah.
And it's just like intense. It almost sounds like you're playing three tracks at once.
It's like Gorillaz, but like sped up.
No, it's way, way more intense than that. Like it's
no, but
just,
like the idea of like the little avatars, the animated people and
I
stuff.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's just.
Is it like Caramel Dancing type stuff?
No.
Like really like.
I don't know, video game music. I don't know what that is.
Like meme music.
Very fast meme / video game music.
Yeah.
It's something core, it's called. And she listens to a lot of that, as well as some good stuff. But this is what she
Everything has to switch off. Okay. So this one band I saw was like a mix. So it had a guy like doing grime kind of rap over the top of it.
Right.
And it was also had like a guy on keyboard doing pan pipes.
Okay.
And
nice.
A girl on saxophone.
Nice.
And a guy. And so it was like he described it as like grunge, grime, soul. Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I was like, this is weird, but also kind of good.
This is like mixing vodka and milk together.
Do you know what I mean?
Were you booing?
That's the kind of shit. No.
Get off the stage.
No one ever
Fuck
did a single
you.
Boo. but then like also very, very few people like cheered or anything either.
That's always a good sign, I think. If you're
one of the lyrics, I think was "Wagwan," right?
Oh, Wagwan, yeah.
Wagwan, whatever. Which means I don't know what it means.
What's going on?
But he that was kind of very common. Now, of course, the person next to me who I didn't know was singing along quite loud. But he wasn't singing Wagwan because he didn't know that that was even a word. Right. So he's like older than me, more out of touch than me.
Seriously.
And he's like, he was really enjoying it. But I was like, does he not understand? I didn't want to tell him. You know
excuse
I mean?
Me, mate. You're ruining my enjoyment of this. It's not whatever you're saying. It's Wagwan. It's Wagwan.
Hey, have I ever told you guys about Wesley Willis before?
The whitest thing I've ever done. Oh my God.
Have I ever told you about Wesley Willis before?
Wesley Willis.
Flax, maybe you've heard of him. I don't know. Maybe
do you
Lewis
mean
has not.
Wincy Willis, the weather presenter?
No, Wesley Willis. Wesley Lawrence
Wesley
Willis.
Snipes, no. The actor from Blade.
Okay, listen, I'll read a little synopsis for you and see if it jogs your memory, okay?
Okay.
As an American musician and visual artist diagnosed with schizophrenia in 1989, Willis began a career as an underground singer-songwriter in the outsider music tradition. Willis's songs are typically partially spoken in an MC style and partially sung in a nasal and out-of-tune manner reminiscent of punk rock vocals. They feature bizarre, humorous, and sometimes obscene and or absurd lyrics sung okay. over backing created by using the auto accompaniment feature of his Technics KN keyboard. His songs cover a wide variety of topics, with mental illness and consumerism being the most prominent themes. He's best okay. known for songs like Rock and Roll McDonald's and I Whooped Batman's Ass.
Amazing.
I saw him live in Ottawa. Me and my friends went to see him. He gained a large cult following in the 90s, which is true. Because we were able to listen to his music and download it from Napster.
Yes.
This is kind of like the start of the internet, really.
I remember it. It was kind of meme.
It was
music.
A bit memey at the time, yeah.
But we, I mean, we didn't really have memes the way we do now back then. Obviously, we all come from something awful. And there were definitely sort of in jokes. They were like the proto-memes where people would reference certain things and... And I guess that, you know, Photoshop Friday always had certain consistent jokes in that were like the early version of what we now understand as memes. Like, for example, now you can just have on TikTok a single image of a cat or a dog just gently nodding its head, put some text over it and a particular song, and that's the meme.
Yeah.
So it's like it's just a format for a joke, like a knock knock joke. Like but rather than just have knock knock jokes or doctor doctor, you know, there's a steering wheel in my pants and it's driving me nuts. Like that's the doctor doctor is the very early version of a meme.
Yeah.
So Wesley Willis and that Rock and Roll McDonald's, I definitely recognize that. You'd see it referenced on Something Awful.
It was that's probably the weirdest live act I've ever seen in my life.
You saw him live?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And when we went to see him live, I'll tell you a little story about when we went to see him live as well. The bathroom of the venue, the men's bathroom of the venue, was basically cordoned off. And we got there and we got a couple of beers and we were having a fun time. Went to go to the bathroom and couldn't get in. We're like, what is there like a lineup? What's going on with the bathroom? We're talking to like some guy and he's like, no, it's Wesley Willis. And we're like, what do you mean? He's like, he does this everywhere he goes. Like before he goes on stage, he takes a huge dump and basically clogs up like all the pipes in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Oh my
and
God.
It just renders the whole thing unusable, or it's like a disaster okay. zone in there.
Good God.
And apparently that was one of his things. I don't know if he did it intentionally. I guess he probably didn't do it intentionally.
That is some kind of power move. Oh, I'm sure
it is a power move. Yeah. So,
you know, the weirdest band I ever saw, my friend and I were really into a band called The Fall.
Right.
This was sort of in the 90s and the early noughties. Marky Smith was the front man. They're kind of a legendary UK band. John Peel was a big fan of them. And And we loved them because Marky Smith was a very unusual frontman. Couldn't sing, looked like an alcoholic that would be on a park bench. But they were great. I mean, they were a really, really great band. Anyway, he went through members of that band very, very often. And a lot of people would sort of do gigs or go on to have little careers with pretty much their qualifications were, I was in The Fall, right? So it was like, oh, this guy used to be the guitarist for The Fall, and now he's got his own band, let's go see him. But the thing is, about 1,000 musicians have probably been in The Fall. Marky Smith, like, fires people all the time. Anyway, we went to see this guy, and my mate was like, this guy was a guitarist for The Fall, we should go see him. I was like, cool. We went there. He had a very odd set where he just sort of played non-music. So one of the things he did was he had the band going, and then he came out with a drill and a violin and just ran the power drill over the violin strings, making this god-awful noise.
Okay.
And he would sort of, he had this dead look on his face, like, this is music, why aren't you all enjoying this? And sort of like, this unbelievable racket. And this dead-eyed expression. And I thought, oh, he's like almost like saying, you guys will fucking listen to anything, you consumerist scum. Like, that was, I assume, the vibe.
Okay.
And my mate looked at me, he was like, this is fucking awful, let's leave. So we went to the pub. But it was just that was probably the weirdest set I'd ever been to, because it was packed and people were just standing there like with their heads cocked to the side, like, yes. And some people were like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. It was a really weird mix.
Yeah.
But some people were clearly like, this is amazing. It was terrible.
I do enjoy live music. And I would even go as far as to say, I enjoy live music even if I'm not particularly into the band or the...
Yeah, for sure.
I like to experience live music.
I've seen tons of bands where I really enjoyed the live set, and then
yeah,
you
same.
Look
but
at
there
their music
are
later
some
and
real
like,
damn
no
stinkers
good.
As
yeah.
well. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you.
It's often the other way around, isn't it? Like you hear people, you hear music, and then you go and see the people live, and you're like, wow, this is not what I.
Yeah,
thought it would be
definitely.
Like,
there are some bands that can't translate their sound to live. Fleet Foxes are one of my favorite bands, and I remember that their music is very sort of close harmony. It's very, very, very structured. And their early live shows didn't sound anything like what they'd produced on record. And I remember thinking, oh man, I really wanted to see them live. Subsequent years, they've obviously gotten better. But when they first started out, I don't think they could quite get the sound right. But there are tons of bands where their live rendition has that energy and that rawness, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you listen to the record and it's overproduced to fuck. Like, just so overproduced that it sucks the soul out of it. Like, the drums are muffled. But I saw one band, loved them, really, really loved them. Fantastic band. But when you saw them live, they were so loud, you couldn't hear the song. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but the drums, the guy was like, bam, bam. Yeah. The guitar was so loud and the singer was screaming. He thought, I know this song, but I can't actually hear it over the sound of you playing the song. That's how loud it is. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah. I saw Andrew WK live in quite a big venue, but
it wasn't a
stadium. It was just, it was a venue. And it was insane. Like, it was so loud, I was deaf for like a month after the show. It was insane.
That's your eardrums being killed.
Yes. Yeah. It was a fun show, though. Like, the energy levels were just like in outer space. It was nuts. But
I always wanted to see Dan Deacon. He was he's apparently, his live shows are pretty legendary.
Yeah.
So Andrew WK, very odd career, because I felt like he's one of those acts that either music journalists or the record label or someone was like, this is going to be huge, and treated him and pushed him as if he was going to be huge, and he just wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, his career just kind of, I mean, what is Andrew WK up to now?
I don't,
like,
I think
party
some,
hard song,
yeah, the party
was
music was
everywhere.
In a couple of movies, I think, and that's probably enough to keep him.
Yeah,
keep him comfortable.
I'm sure he's okay. Yeah. It's just weird to me, because it felt like Like, I was almost being told by the music industry, this guy is massive.
Yeah.
But none of us really seemed to believe it. We were like, is he? Because I didn't really like his stuff. It's like, nah, why is this guy everywhere? It was weird.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of, it's really, really energetic rock, isn't it? Like, it's fast, but like almost exhaustingly
it's kind of simplistic,
so.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
It's really
so,
weird.
You were asking where I was. Obviously, for regular listeners, I do sound different. I am in Sweden right now doing Dream League for 2 weeks.
Jeez.
I'm out here for 2 weeks. I haven't done a two-week stint in some time. I've normally just been tucking a week in here and there.
Yeah.
But I committed this year to being busy. I wanted to be
busy
all year.
You
want to
be out there.
I wanted to be out there. So when they offered me work, I took as much as I could.
Right.
So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to Birmingham in April.
Nice.
For more Dota. I'm going to be there for a week. There'll be more Dota coming up later this year and stuff. And it's weird. I guess that the kids are old enough now that I don't feel any kind of, I know what it's like looking after them. Like, it's not as hard now that they're old enough. They make
sure.
themselves
yeah.
breakfast. They make themselves lunch. They can cook dinner if you need them to. You know, I mean, my eldest is almost at the age where she'll be babysitting for other people.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we don't mind leaving them alone for a little bit. And they generally go to their rooms when they come home from school. They don't want much to do with me anymore anyway. So I was like, you know what? Why not squeeze a few more drops out of my miserable career
and
go to Dota events?
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Good.
It's been fun.
Good.
Is it the same old crowd?
Same old crowd. Yeah, it
same
is.
Same group. Yeah.
Which, you know, so some I've seen people complain about this, where they're like, why is it the same old faces? And I'd say, first of all, it is an old game at this point.
Yeah, I don't think it's attracting new players like they were hoping to at one point. I think there was a big push to get new players into the game, but I think there's just other options nowadays, aren't there?
It's just
not
so
even
hard
for MOBAs, but
well.
I think there's just other way more games now and other games
yeah.
that people can get involved in, and Dota isn't the draw it used to be.
No, it's not. I mean, also, I'm not being funny, but in the time that you're learning Dota, I don't want to get into Dota chat.
No,
here.
No,
I just want
it's
to talk
a slog
about
though.
Else.
It is a labor
is
of love.
So
really,
much,
isn't it? Jesus.
So
but
much
also,
work.
You've lost the young, the next generation coming through. They are entirely playing Fortnite or even CS:GO. So maybe Valve don't care.
And League.
No, I mean
League
equally,
is
you're not going to
convince.
You're not going to convince 10 million new people to put 1,000 hours into a game just to get some kind of idea of what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like people who give Dota a try, it either instantly grabs you or you think, oh, I'm just not interested in this.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely, I'm not even going to say it's a Marmite of games. It's just, it's not like you either love it or hate it. It's just it either grabs you and you immediately want to put the time in.
Yeah.
Or you just go, I can see this is incredibly dense and it's not for me. Like, that's how it feels.
It's got enough in it to grab you in, but I think predominantly it grabs people in by pissing them off. Because, no, I think it does though, because I think people play it and they're like, there's no way I could possibly be this bad at a game. Like,
yeah.
What is
yeah.
it about this game? And then they invest after that. They're like,
yeah.
okay, I'm going to figure it out. But they
so
don't
the,
realize
the
that it takes like thousands of hours to get
thousands,
even decent
yeah, yeah.
at it.
So the complaints from people were not necessarily about same old faces in terms of the pro players, because there are actually quite a few new pro players coming through over the last few years.
Yeah.
The issue was the talent, if you like. So people like me, why is it the same old people? And I suppose to answer that, if you're putting together a production, the main focus is the games. People want to watch the games. The stuff in between, the analysis, the filler stuff and all that, the tying together production, you just want people who are experienced in making that a smooth transition from one game to the next. And if you're an
It's filler. It's filler.
It's filler. Yeah. If you're an organization and you're putting together the production of a show, why would you say, hey, let's get 10 brand new people in and just gamble that somehow this is going to be the same? I think
well, you don't want people turning off.
No, you don't. Exactly.
But also, you're very familiar. You know, I think that's the other thing. Like, people, okay, this week I've been playing Pacific Drive.
How
is
it? Which is
Kepler's new, it's a game where basically you're, I read this book. I read the Boris and Arkady's, whatever their name is, their book about the exclusion zone and Roadside Picnic.
Okay.
Which basically is like, the whole thing is like
it's Stalker.
Stalker,
yeah.
right? It's and that's where obviously Chernobyl happened after they'd written this book, but the whole book was about what if aliens just popped by Earth and, you know, had a picnic and left again.
Mm-hmm.
But all of their stuff, their yogurt pots, their cigarette butts, we're like the animals that come out of the forest, and they're poisonous to us, right? Or they kill us, or they're like radioactive, or the alien, right? And so it inspired this Annihilation and loads of other media, right, over the years. That's all been really good. Any Pacific Drive, similar idea. There's this peninsula with weird anomalies, alien shit. It's all walled off and a little bit like SCP style. You get sucked into it and you have to sort of, but you've got one of your car is like this remnant. Okay. It's, uh-huh. it's
you got like an old like Clark Griswold car that you drive.
It's an old
around
1983 in. Station wagon that's all beat up, but it's kind of enchanted, right? It's like, it's magical.
And you can
it's,
upgrade it's, it too.
And well, the whole game is like these remnants, people get obsessed with them and you get obsessed with your car because that's the whole game. The whole game is upgrading your car, like polishing it, cleaning it, fixing it up, like changing the wheels, upgrading the stuff, and the game is driving out into this exclusion zone, trying to dodge these weird anomalies, collecting shit and bringing it back. But it's such a pure game. It's like, obviously it's what gaming has become these days. It's the evolution of like music and a lot about the other things we're talking about today. Like it just, if it did, the only thing it doesn't have is the Assassin's Creed tower where you have to climb up and it pings the whole zone, right? Mm. It doesn't have that, but it has basically every other thing that games have, you know, and it's quite slow as a result, but it's also quite like, there's quite a lot of filler.
Right.
And I always find that this is quite interesting when I see games have boring, deliberately make their game slow and boring and awkward, right? Because it keeps the player grounded, it immerses the player, but it's also comforting sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought like Death Stranding did that really well. I love that.
It's like it feels like they could have just sped it up. Like if I gave feedback on the game, I'd be like, this is too slow. But I think they have to resist that sort of player feedback and make it quite slow. And it's what I call like a good game for streaming streamers, because you can kind of just stop at any point and talk to chat, and then, you know, get in your car and put it in gear and drive into the rain. And it's, I don't know, like I don't have to pay full attention while playing it, but sometimes I do.
Okay.
So it has those like gripping moments where you're like, okay, I'm gonna have to pay attention now. I'm gonna pause my movie. I'm gonna get in and I'm gonna do it. And I think it's a similar, I don't know, like I just feel like some people, it's comforting. Like the filler that you do, P-Flax, I'm sure is excellent and has its moments, right? Much like everything does, you know, like The Apprentice has its moments, but mostly people watch it because they kind of know what to expect. It's kind of,
it's just easy and comfortable.
It's like brown, like pink noise, not brown noise.
Also, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the people that I work with are really, really good at what they do. And when you get someone new in, sometimes you realize why the people that do what they do are hired all the time. It's because they're very good at it.
Oh, well, you're not wrong. We have a similar thing like with Yogscast people, you know, when we've been playing games together for 10 years, you know, and so sometimes when we play with someone new, even though they're amazing, they don't quite gel with our group. And as a result, they're talking in the wrong places. They're like saying things that are a bit awkward, or like
they're horrible racists, you know, all that stuff.
it is quite common for someone to take time to fit in with their group. But also, each group has its own dynamic. What I'm saying is that, in a sense, though, P-Flax, you having this set group that's done it together for so many years is almost exclusionary to new people coming in. Like, it doesn't matter how good they are, they're going to take time to fit in.
Oh yeah, like 100%.
Yeah,
I suppose the thing is, we're not saying we don't want new people. The problem is, like, I guess it's a difficult one, because how do you get new people without a tier 2 and a tier 3 scene? And that whole scene of sort of the secondary and tertiary events that orgs would just put on kind of died. They got rid of a lot of those things in the last few years for various reasons I'm not going to go into. That whole scene kind of died off. So it's hard for new people to get their faces out there. So therefore, it's hard to find these new people to hire. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And when it comes to like commentary and stuff, a lot of the guys that do the casting, they are the best at doing it. Yeah. That's why they get hired over and over again. So.
And then you have people come and go too. There's people, long-standing people who leave the scene for a variety of reasons as well and stuff too.
There's always new blood coming along who are good, like Jenkins, you know, who are relatively new but also really good. And
although he has been around for ages.
Well, now, yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is, though, that it's not worth taking the risk on an unknown.
Right?
He needs to have done something to prove that people don't hate it, because you don't want people just like, oh my god, this guy's awful, or I just can't, you know, and all Twitch chat and everyone's just like turning off, you know, that's like the ultimate.
And it could be really bad for that person's career want, right? as well. That's the problem.
Yeah. And it might not be their fault. It might just be that the, you know, they're just not experienced with it.
So further to me being in Sweden, first of all, it's very cold here, much colder than I remembered it being in February.
Well, it's February.
Yeah, but I just kind of, I knew it was going to be cold.
In Sweden.
But it's like zero.
Yeah, well,
it's
like that's
zero
cold, yeah.
When the wind hits you, it's cold.
You're lucky it's that.
Yeah, it could, be much colder.
I know. It's still cold. I came from a fairly balmy, almost spring-like London, landed in Stockholm. I was like, fuck me. There's like ice. There's still grit in the roads.
Yeah.
It's there's a little bit of snow lingering around. I was like, Jesus. So I'm looking forward to getting back. It's going to feel like landing in one of those hot foreign countries when you get off the plane.
Yeah, you're going to have your Hawaiian shorts on and your camera around your neck and stuff.
I don't know if this is just a Stockholm thing, even if it's just a this neighborhood thing. We're in sort of the southern part of Stockholm, Hammarby. I can't pronounce it Swedes. I'm sorry. Hammarbo or whatever it's called. There's tons of restaurants around here. The Swedes seem to love to eat out. They eat out a lot. They eat out quite early, and it seems to be every single night.
Yeah.
So this was a Wednesday. I was trying to get a table at a restaurant. It was for about 10 people. But you think on a Wednesday that should be easy enough? Nowhere.
Oh,
nowhere.
Man.
Couldn't get a table. They were all like, nope, we're booked. Nope, we're booked. So we finally found a place. We just walked in and hoped for the best. It was about 7 o'clock. Place was packed. By 7:30, it was empty. Everybody left.
Wow.
And we were the only ones left in there.
I guess it's a school night,
weird.
Really, so...
Yeah,
most
but so
they're,
they're eating out, but they eat out early. Like, I don't think they're like the rest of Europe that eats late. I guess maybe because it gets dark so quickly. Oh, there's
is
a
this
cultural
the aging,
thing.
Is this the aging population thing?
No, these were young people.
So like, you know, the world is getting older, right? The average age of people in like Germany is like 46.
Of course,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You think young people nowadays are a bit more cleaner living than maybe we were when we were younger?
Oh, they don't drink at all.
Yeah, because...
Like, I'm not... When I was out last night, there were 10 of us out. I was the only one that had a beer. Actually, there were two of us.
Right.
The other lad, our Welsh lad. So it was like, he had one beer. I had a couple of beers, but nobody else had it. They all just water for me, please. I was like, man, times are changing.
Yeah.
Well, they're fair for work. They're professionals.
I'm there for work. We the next day, a lot of us weren't working.
You got to get greased up
and
for
like,
work.
What, one beer?
You're used to working on a few pints deep, though. Yeah. You know, that's like your natural state.
Well, I've decided to cut back on drinking this year.
Oh.
Just so you're like that guy on The Wire who's got like a, you know, like he's got like a Mickey in his desk. He's just been on the job. He's retiring in like 2 weeks.
Just let him see his time out. He's almost got his bench. So I obviously when I'm streaming, I'd normally have a few cans when I'm streaming to just kind of, you know, have a laugh and everything. And because just got into the habit of it, really. So I was like, all right, the drinking is going to have I'm going to have to do less of it. Because it was just becoming a habit where I'd have a few cans, quote, to relax in the evening. I was like, actually, I don't need that. And I found, so what I did was I substituted like drinking alcohol for just having tonic water, the same as I'd have for a gin and tonic, but with no gin. So just the tonic water with a bit of lime in. And that sort of, I realized that I was just drinking for the taste and just sort of habitually, because I didn't want to just drink water in the evenings. So I would just have a couple of cans. So if I just have tonic, that was fine. So we got here on the Friday. I had one beer with a couple of the lads. Then we came back to the hotel. And then I hadn't had a drink until last night. I only had two beers. I was like, man, I'm really, if I was in Bristol right now, you know, I would have already had a 5 a.m. finish, a 3 a.m. finish, and probably another 5 a.m. finish. And my liver would be aching. So I was just like, you know, let's try and cut down on the booze. Let's see what effect it has. And I've noticed a couple of differences already. First of all, I didn't realize that most people can just wake up in the morning. That's something. Even having a couple of beers makes me much more groggy the next day. Just like two beers. I kind of hadn't realized that.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So you've been influenced by all these good, clean living young folks who are, you know,
I was like, maybe
doing
they're
their
onto
exercises.
Something. Yeah. Maybe they're onto something.
You know
something.
What a lot of young folk are doing now as well, Flax? They're excluding meat from their diets, too.
Yeah, I know. So
Pink Flax already does this. We talked about this.
But I got a couple of comments. And some people on my Discord were asking about that egg thing.
How much you love eggs.
No, so like I don't want to get into it again because obviously we did it last week. I've said this so many times. I have no problem with vegans. Lewis is a vegan. He's one of my best friends. When we go down to Bristol, whatever, I will go out to eat with people and they're all vegans. And I'm not like preaching at them and shouting at them and stuff like that. I just require two things, occasionally
that's explanation. That's just common decency, Flax. Yeah. That's not, you don't need to have a
right,
fucking...
Right, but the idea is that that's not what I'm doing. Like right, the idea is that somehow I'm like, how dare you fucking get some meat down your neck, way? Like an orc, like a fucking orc, right? Like I'm not that person. So let's not go for that caricature. My issues are, number one, sometimes I will have legitimate questions. I think asking why vegans don't eat eggs is fair enough. And a friend of mine said that he does know some people who are vegans, but eat the eggs that their own chickens produce.
Yeah.
Because they know that these chickens are well looked after and all the rest of it. Yeah. And it's like, it's an egg. So I was like, because the logic to me of veganism makes sense as a concept if you're saying it's about the harmful treatment of animals, like harming animals. Yeah. I completely understand that. I think that's a genuinely noble stance. Fair enough. There's no actual moral argument that I can make that says actually torturing animals and eating them is a good thing. I'm not going to try and make that argument. So I will just occasionally have questions, and one of them was about eggs. And everybody jumped to, well, people at these battery farms. Well, I'm saying, all right, so if we take the battery farms out of it and these chickens live a luxurious life, you're still not eating the eggs.
So
if the answer is no,
eggs.
then just yeah. saying, well, it's a personal choice. I don't like eggs.
That's
a completely
grow.
Different conversation. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, sorry. I think we're all right. Quick things, though. Let's go through before we run out of time. Sips, The Apprentice was in Jersey.
It was.
In Jersey, please talk about this.
It was. I watched the episode. It was good. It was, well, I mean, it was The Apprentice. They were all
Did
useless.
Did you recognize local Jersey sites?
Well, of course. I mean, I knew everywhere they were. I knew, like, even just, like, when they're in the car in the countryside, I was like, oh, yeah, I know where they are. Like, you become familiar with the place that you live in, like it's
especially a small place, right?
Yeah.
Like
it,
yeah, you're gonna know it
was
inside
it,
out.
Was it like watching yourself on a task box or something, you know, or on a like a YouTube video? Like,
well,
do you know what I mean?
No, not really, but like it was. I mean, there was one point when they were, well, you've been here before, Lewis, you know, the central market in town,
yeah.
There was
yeah.
one point when they were in there and they were snooping around trying to find some stuff or whatever. And Karen Brady had her notepad and her sunglasses on, and
she did.
She was looking around and making notes, and we thought that was kind of funny because, like, you know, to think that Karen Brady is like in the market that you go to nearly every day or whatever, like,
yeah, in the place where you get that pizza,
yeah. I mean, that was about it. They went
Man.
To like the, you know, the really nice parts of the island for sure.
Karen like Brady's so hot. She's such a just a strong and powerful woman. Whew. All about that. Step on me, mommy.
Okay.
So yeah,
stuff.
No, it was good. It was interesting.
Okay.
It was funny.
That's the Lewis. Please don't talk about that anymore. Okay.
Good
stuff. Let's move on.
Do you want to hear the gaming news?
I don't want gaming news. I want weirdo news.
I want gaming news.
I want weirdo news.
We'll do one of each.
Mom, so, I want gaming news.
Weirdo news.
In America, Wendy's is start going to do surge pricing like Uber does.
Are you fucking
right?
serious?
So when it's busy, the prices are going to go up.
That
How
is
has no
crazy.
Restaurant thought of this before? That's ingenious. Those
so, yeah.
devilish bastards.
So burgers, Frosties, and other menu items will cost more.
Maybe that's what they're doing in Sweden. That's why they're all leaving at 7:30. The surge starts at 8. Gotta get tuck in, guys. It's almost 8 o'clock.
I think it's just because it gets dark earlier that they've got used to eating early. But anyway, so surge pricing at Wendy's, okay.
In related food news, the 29 vending machines at the University of Waterloo in Canada are being removed after students discovered they all have little cameras in them that film whoever uses them and whoever's in front of them. You know how like ATMs have cameras in them, right? And they use it on crime shows all the time. Vending machines are now just sticking them in as a standard practice.
Yeah, but standard practice for what?
Well, because it's to catch people who are trying to shake those crisps loose, you know?
Well, don't they have a little alarm in them?
Shake the polo mints out. I don't know. People still get crushed by vending machines. Maybe it's for safety reasons, but no, it just
really?
Seems like it's
get their arms
seems
stuck
like it's,
in there. Yeah.
Wow. Everywhere's got cameras these days. They're so cheap, and I would imagine they were in everything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't know better, I don't care if a vending machine watches me buy a Twix unless of course, it reports me to the vegan police.
I just assume there's cameras everywhere, and that's why I make a point to just jerk off everywhere I go.
I see.
As great much stuff. As possible.
So the students were, like, appalled that there was a camera in the vending machine?
Yes, students, like, got mad about it.
Why?
Because they're naive and they don't realize that cameras are everywhere.
But they're everywhere.
They're probably on 15 cameras already while they're using the vending machine.
Yeah. That is odd.
That's why. Because, you know, because it's a news, because it's news, isn't it? Right. Kids in Norway, studies have shown that younger kids are being bullied over their lack of cosmetic skins and in-game items in FIFA, Fortnite, and Warzone.
Jeez.
So again, this is not news. Kids have always been bullied for having less.
I don't have to worry because I've got, I bought the Wu-Tang pack for Fortnite and I've got a season one Skibbity toilet skin for my guy as well. So I'm good.
God. Oh, your digital shit is not as good as my digital trainers. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
I'm sorry, but that is just kids are shits to each other.
Yeah.
Part 1,000. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
They did. There's a thing in Fortnite. My son plays it every day with his friends from school. They go on and play like when they get home from school. And I every once in a while, I just peer over his shoulder and say, oh, you know, take cover or, you know, I'm giving him advice. He's probably way better than me. But he's on the shop and he was talking to his friends and they got a Lady Gaga skin on there, which a bit weird because I feel like she's not very, she's not super relevant anymore, right?
Or maybe she is. Especially not for the kids that play Fortnite. I don't get it. That's bizarre.
But anyway, she's got like a skin and there's like some music clip with an emote and stuff. And I just figured, nobody's probably going to buy that, right? And he joins the game in the lobby. Like every fucking person has it. Like there's all Lady Gaga skins and they're all doing the emote music and stuff. So... what the fuck do I know?
How strange.
Yeah. Oh, God. Apparently, there's a company called GameScent. And this sort of happens every few years that this comes around. But there's the idea of this device by a tech company that you put a little box on your desk or whatever, and it connects to what you're doing in a video game and will release scents alongside your gameplay.
Oh.
So it has currently, it's got the smells of, do you want to hear the smells? Can you guess what the smells are?
Farts, blood. For sure.
How many farts are there in a video game, Sips?
Well, you're playing the wrong games.
What does blood smell like?
Kind of irony.
My favorite game, Perfect Lover, has a lot of farting in it, okay?
No, there's no farts. The ones are gunfire. The smell of gunfire.
I would be alarmed to smell that in my gaming garage. I would think that there was actually a fire breaking out.
The smell of explosions.
Well, that's not very
clever.
Which
sounds like it would be very similar to the smell of gunfire.
Yeah.
The smell of racing. I guess imagine that's like burned tires.
Imagine the thing malfunctioned and you're playing like Baldur's Gate 3 and you meet like your dream honey for the very first time and it emits the smell of shit and just ruins the whole thing for you. This smells like manure. What the fuck is going on with my scent box?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other two are storm and forest.
Ooh. What does that mean?
Storm is like, it smells like wet leaves and stuff, I guess. Yeah. Maybe forest does too. Forest
freshly
probably just smells
grass.
Like pine, you know, like those pine-scented car scent.
I mean, I'm not being funny, but Sips should get the smell of soap for all those power washing.
Yes. Scent,
you know, the smell of detergent.
Bubblegum
and
soap.
Freshly wet concrete.
Yes, that would be very
nice. And the smell of old recycling.
I actually have a diffuser in my garage and I have
some soap in it.
I have the smell of cedar in here all the time and it's glorious. Very relaxing.
So this immersive thing, the way it works is it uses AI hear what's like capture the audio. So it's not connected into the game anyway. It's just like the audio that the game produces, if it hears like that stock bear sound, then it just must like make a bear fart or whatever smell.
I would love it if it could detect, you know, using AI, it could detect what I'm doing, like farting or burping. And then when I'm playing Tarkov or whatever with a squad, if I burp, they could smell, you know, cola. They, like, it would their scent box would go off and it would just be like kind of like juice. Bad breath and yeah, like vinegar and cola mixed together.
Oh my god.
That would be great.
Such a good idea. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Just like do a little fart, friends. Just a really eggy one. I think it would improve, you know, morale across the school.
A must have.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Who let one rip? You're trying to hold dorms. Fucking hell, it stinks. I gotta get out of here.
Oh my god. Yeah. It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like the idea of that. Well, I don't. No, no one's gonna buy
I hate
it.
That.
Of course.
Didn't they do it's something shit. Like this for the idea. South Park game? The
yes, when they promoted
fractured
it.
Butthole.
Yes. Yeah. They did. No, what else I had have to
you
wear
got?
It.
What else have
it
you got? Awful.
The Florida Man Games okay. has happened.
Is it as in like an Olympics, but for Florida Man?
They rose up by the dozens from across Florida, caricatured competitors in tank tops and cut-off shorts for a showdown that treats evading police and wrestling over beer like Olympic sports.
Nice.
The most insane athletic showdown on Earth. It pokes fun at the state's reputation for brawling, drinking, gunfire, reptile wrangling, and other antics that involve jail time or intensive care.
Jesus.
So yes, it's. I don't even know. Okay, so James Gordon of DeLand won the first event, which involved wolfing down a plate loaded with barbecue pork and sausage.
Jesus.
Okay.
That sounds disgusting.
He chugged a beer to celebrate. I've lived in Florida my whole life, Gordon said, after washing sauce from his hands.
Nice.
They're calling these events. I'm calling this fucking Tuesday afternoon.
Very good.
One event had contenders dueling in muddy water in an inflatable pool.
Jesus.
Pummeling each other with weapons made from pool noodles and duct tape. Another was a theft relay, in which competitors raced while carrying a pair of bicycles, copper pipes, and catalytic converters.
Heavens.
Good God.
Yeah, it's great. Donnelly 42 says, Larry Donnelly, I have an absolute disregard for self-preservation. I will do anything. When I was in the military, I did a little alligator wrestling.
Of course.
He says.
I have no regard for my life, essentially. That's insane. Those are the people who say, hurricane, I ain't moving. And it's just like the hurricane comes in and raises them
to
the ground.
Well, if that's the case, you can take my pinched nerve then, my friend, and I'll carry on enjoying my life if you don't value yours.
Amazing.
All right, listen, I got to go to the doctors, so...
yeah, okay, my man's got to go.
Thank you, everyone.
Good luck,
we'll see you all
boy.
Thank
next
you.
Time.
Yeah, wish me luck, and I'll let you know next time how it goes.
And enjoy yourselves out there, everybody. Yeah. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.